stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to episode 38 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and you can also find me on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. You can also find me on Blue Sky at that same handle. If you have not gone to southharmonff.com and checked out all the stuff we have there, you need to go do that. It's just as simple as going there and creating an account. A free account can get you access to all the amazing articles that T-Rock and Maddie make, and then you can also utilize the lab. If you want to pay for just $6.90 a month, you can get access to all the amazing warp tools and simulators that I've made. You can take a look at all the data that we here at South Harmon have known that helps us year after year and helps us make sure that we are dominating our leagues. That's why you need to go sign up, and it might be too late this season for you to make changes, but that's what the offseason is for. Learn how to utilize these tools, learn how to incorporate them in your process, so that way you can dominate next year as well. Once again, go to southharmonff.com to check that out. This week, I want to start looking forward towards the offseason, towards the change in perception people are going to have in Dynasty, and how we can try to start to cut against that. The biggest thing we don't want to do is overreact based on 1 year's worth of data. Look at how that might have worked out just a few years ago. We weren't looking at running backs at all. And the things that we saw over the past couple of years was that running backs were essentially useless. They held no value in Dynasty outside of really the top three or four guys. However, this year, that has completely changed. This season has shown us that we've been undervaluing the running backs, and we've been pushing up the wide receivers way too much. And that is something that I have been saying for a little bit now. And you can see it in a lot of my teams and how they're constructed. A lot of my teams are heavy on the running backs and relatively light on the wide receivers, especially the ones that are in that range of wide receiver 10 through 35. A lot of those guys, in my mind, were overvalued because people were pushing wide receivers over getting any other position. And so when I was trying to draft against other people playing fantasy football, I just found myself gravitating towards those running backs, towards the tight ends, and towards the quarterbacks. Now, of course, this season, we get the course correction. We get the random events that cause things to change such that now people are questioning that wide receiver strategy. People are looking at the wide receiver position as something that can be replaced, that you can identify wide receivers off of the waiver wire and be able to use them in your lineup and be able to understand that those wide receivers are going to be just as effective as some of the other lower-end wide receivers that you would have normally considered to be those wide receivers that are a difference maker over somebody else. And then our previous strategy of having a bunch of backup running backs where you just have one guy and then you just fill in the other position. Well, there has not been as many running back injuries this year. It's been hard to actually find that second running back who's been a difference maker for your team and who's been replacing in your lineup at the same level as those other running backs that are on the other teams. And the problem is that there just has not been those injuries this year. And so what I wanted to do was just go through a little bit of the data to just talk about that sheer difference between the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends, and how stark it looks for this year. And also understand that in some episodes as we go into the offseason, I'm going to talk about how this looks on a position-by-position basis, how this is from this year compared to previous years, so that way we don't end up overreacting and overcorrecting, trying to fit this past year's worth of data into changing everything we know, and causing us to misvalue a position off of pure happenstance and chance. So let's talk about our quarterbacks. In 2024, we had 19 of the top 24 quarterbacks still be in the top 24 quarterbacks in week 16. So from week 1 to week 16, we've only lost 5 quarterbacks in terms of the top 24 guys, which are the ones you're going to be starting every single week. Those guys are the ones that are going to be filled in on all the top teams. And then even in just our contenders, sometimes the rebuilders, they don't have those top quarterbacks, and those guys are the third quarterbacks on some of those top teams. 7 of the top 12 quarterbacks are still top 12 in week 16. Now, that doesn't sound like something crazy, except for that 10 of the top 12 are still in the top 16, and 11 of the top 12 are in the top 19. Of the top 12 quarterbacks, only one is not in the top 24 for this week 16 matchup. Think about how crazy that is. That means out of all 12 quarterbacks, due to injury, due to poor play, due to any sort of reason that would cause them to miss even just 1 week of the season, because I'm only comparing week 1 to week 16, only one out of 12 quarterbacks actually got hit with that problem. All other 11 are still in the top 16. If you had two top 12 quarterbacks going into the season, there's an extremely high probability that both of them are still sitting right there in your lineup. Your team has been riding with those quarterbacks, and you've been raking in all of those points all year long. So, what does this mean in terms of the market? The market is going to see this with quarterbacks and think that they are a position that is consistent year over year. And that is the one thing that we have been talking about at South Harmon for a while now. Quarterbacks, as long as they are healthy, will continue to score you points and they will be fairly consistent. We've gotten good at predicting quarterbacks. If you even go back to the whole idea behind the late round quarterback strategy from JJ Zacharyson, the late round quarterback strategy is no longer the late round quarterback strategy. There's a reason he changed his entire brand's name to late round and not late round quarterback. And the reason is that we've gotten really, really good at identifying those quarterbacks. We've gotten really good at identifying, hey, these guys are the ones that we want year after year. We understand how scoring comes from the quarterback position for fantasy purposes. And so you don't find values in the later rounds that become your top 12 quarterbacks. We're really good at identifying who those guys are going to be, and if they aren't in the top 12, they're still really close to it. Of all of the quarterbacks that were top 12, the only one who is not top 12 here in week 16 is Dak Prescott, who's out for the season with injury. So the fact that every other quarterback is still relevant, including Anthony Richardson, who missed some games in the middle of the season, every single one of these guys is still around here towards the end of the season. Obviously, some of them are not projected to do as well as they were earlier in the year. Anthony Richardson is not the top 6 quarterback he was projected to be in week 1. But he's still hanging around in that top 16 range. CJ Stroud, who is projected to be number 4, is the lowest, all the way down at quarterback 19. Everyone else is up there. Everyone else is still producing. We are pretty good at identifying the quarterback position. And that is something that we need to recognize as fantasy players, that the quarterback position, we are good enough at it. They are so valuable to our teams, especially in our super flex leagues, that that is in fact where we need to put a lot of our value. We can go and invest those top 12 guys, and we know that we're likely getting top 12 or very close to that kind of performance. So moving on to the running backs, 31 of the top 40 running backs are still in the top 40 of projections for week 16. That number is crazy when you think about what we would have expected for the idea of getting any running back on a 53. If you've been talking about the past few years, any running back on a 53, I just want the random guys, I'm going to fill it out by the end of the year. you're left sitting there with, I hope you had the right running backs on a 53, because a lot of the other teams in your leagues were playing that same strategy. You probably did not have all of them, and so you didn't get all nine guys that came into the top 40. You did not have the opportunity to have everybody on your team who you wanted, and you don't have all of those guys because there weren't very many of them. There's only nine of those guys. If we're talking, you did not have a single top 40 running back, there's not even one per team. And so if you just had a couple other managers playing that against you, then you don't have the running backs for this year. You probably ended up going and trading for some just in order to have some bodies who were actually putting up some points on your team. In addition to 31 of the top 40 being in the top 40, 18 of the top 24 are still in the top 24, and 20 of the top 24 are in that top 40 range. So out of the top 24 guys, let's say you decided to invest heavily in running back, then you more than likely still have somebody that is useful week in and week out. Only one out of every six running backs in the top 24 is no longer playing. Whereas that is a number that we expected to be much, much higher. And so as a result, if you look at all these teams that you have to run the gauntlet to get to the playoffs, and you're just waiting for all these other teams to fall apart, and you're the one that rises up through the rankings because they're getting hit with injuries. If they had a bunch of running backs on their team, that is not at all what happened. We're now at the point where these running backs, people have to look at them like, hey, they will be around for a little bit. The question will be, how do we, as a market, understand this? Do we understand that the running backs have that opportunity to be there year over year? Or do we continue to go back to what we were talking about previously of that running backs are only good in a one-year window? We only care about the production that they're putting up right now. That's where I see the market inefficiency. I see it as people are valuing the running backs so little because they say, oh, they aren't going to be around next year. And then they are. If you can value a running back for slightly more than what the market says in terms of a one-year window, as long as they are not having an unexpected peak. And I'm talking about like guys like J.K. Dobbins. We were worried that J.K. Dobbins was not going to even have a career after all the injuries he suffered in Baltimore. And here he is, he's having this spike week in Los Angeles. That's not somebody that I'm necessarily looking to buy into. But people are going to be looking at Joe Mixon in the offseason. They're going to be looking at Alvin Kamara in the offseason. They're going to be even looking at Saquon Barkley. And they're going to say, I have a really, really hard time investing in these guys. But if you are willing to say, you know what, as long as they give me their average performance, for Joe Mixon, a lot of people in the offseason will be like, give me a mid-second and he's yours. That's the way it was with a lot of people. As you just look at a mid-second, maybe you have to go to an early second for some managers in terms of how he fits in on their team. But if you get the performance from this year, and then you get a similar-ish performance next year, and you get a similar-ish performance for the year after that, then you've made it over three times that amount. The production that you got is exactly what you were expecting. You just need to be willing to hold him through when he has those injuries, when he is missing some games. And that is something that is relatively easy to do in a lineup league. In best ball, it's a little harder. And so you have to find a good balance, especially if you're in a best ball league. But if you're in lineup, I'm willing to invest in those running backs as long as the warp says that, you know, running backs are equivalent to those wide receivers. As long as we have an opportunity where the market is so depressed on them that I'm able to accumulate enough of these guys that maybe I fill out my flex spots with these running backs. And then all of a sudden, I don't need to spend as much on these overpriced wide receivers. That's what I've been doing in a lot of my leagues, and that's how I've been doing really well in the leagues that I actually tried that strategy in, that I said I'm going to push in on these running backs, try to compete in them. But we also need to understand that this won't hold every single year. So we need to watch what the market's doing. The market should not push running backs up really high. But if we're at the same point as last year, where people are not valuing the running backs in the offseason, this is how it can go well for that position. Sure, it could go horribly and we just lose the starting running backs on half the teams in the NFL. And that would suck. But if we are in that situation, you weren't invested a whole lot anyway, and you're able to recover and get out, trigger a rebuilding year, retooling year, maybe have a 1 year wait. And if you can hold on to all those running backs who are injured, you have them all for the next year. You get to try again. They don't turn into a pumpkin after 1 year. And it feels to me like that's how we value them. We value them like they're turning into pumpkins, that they're all retiring. We're never going to see them again. But in reality, I think we will. And I think that you can bet on that for a lot of these guys. I'm going to skip wide receivers here for the moment and focus in on the tight ends first. So on the tight ends, 7 of our top 12 tight ends are still top 12. And that mostly just has to do with the back end, because 5 of the top 6 are still in the top 12. It's really the back end guys that, when you think about the tight end position, we know so little about it. We're relatively good at identifying who the top ones are, who are Dalton Kincaids, are Trey McBrides, are Travis Kelce's. Like, those guys, we know that they're going to do quite well. But the guys that are towards the back end, we aren't very good. And so those are the ones that shuffle out year after year. So once again, what we kind of see is that we know who the top tight ends are, and it's either a have or have not situation. If you have one of those top guys, then you know that those guys are still going to be in those top tight ends. But if you don't have one of those top guys, then you're sitting there trying to react. React to how the position is doing. React to which tight ends are getting opportunity on their teams. And those are the kinds of players that you need to focus in on if you don't have one of the top ones. You need to react quickly, identify who those options are, and get them onto your team before their price starts to skyrocket. So once again, the tight end is that position where if you can get yourself one of the top 5-6 guys, then I would focus in on that. I would say those values are probably worth it to spend to get those guys. But if you're outside of that range, we don't want to spend too much. We can treat it like those backup running backs in a sense, and just know that other people in our league are taking the same darts as us. And so we just need to make sure we have enough darts when we're at the beginning of the year that if you're in a higher tight end premium, you need to take more shots than if you have no tight end premium. If you have none, you can probably get away with doing some of the strategy that I do of just only rostering one or two tight ends on your entire 25 to 30 man roster. But if you have a higher tight end premium, take some shots on some of those guys that are a little bit outside of the top 12 in the hopes that you get somebody that falls into that. You get somebody who is useful to your team and is able to produce in your lineup. So now I'm going to focus in on these wide receivers. So how many of the wide receivers are still in the top 50? We have 39 of the top 50 wide receivers still up there in the top 50. But in the top 24, we only have 14 that are still in the top 24. And that is kind of the core of the problem when we're looking at the wide receivers. Remember how in the running backs, it was 18 of the top 24. In the quarterbacks, it was 11 of the top 12 were still in the top 16. There weren't many guys inserting themselves in that difference. And at the wide receiver position, it's gotten a lot more murky. It's been a lot more flat this year. We've seen a lot more wide receivers enter the top 50 than we expected. We've also seen a lot of these top 24 guys that we were expecting to do really well end up running into struggles with target competition on their own team, with struggles with quarterback situations, with all sorts of other things that cause them to be no different than the other guys who are maybe wide receiver twos on their team, or even wide receiver twos on other teams. We've seen the rise of being able to say, you know what, in a pinch, I am able to put Ray McCloud into my lineup. That's something that we would not have seen in any year before this year. We did not really identify those sorts of wide receivers. We didn't identify, hey, Juwan Jennings, he's somebody who can be useful for you. And so it's this flattening of the back end of the wide receivers, kind of like how we talk about at the tight ends, that is causing this kind of value shift where we don't know exactly what value to put on these wide receivers. Outside of the top guys, your absolute smashers, your Justin Jeffersons, your Jamar Chases, even your CeeDee Lamb before Dak Prescott went down with injury. Like, those guys are the ones that they're astronomical, and we know what to expect out of them. And then there's a little bit below that, your Malik Nabers, your Drake London, like those, even like AJ Brown, Devonta Smith, like those guys, we know to value them highly because they're putting up big performances. But everyone that's outside of those couple tiers, like, they are pretty flat. We are not seeing a huge difference. And so the question becomes, how do we react as a market? Do we react where we start valuing too much the guys at the lower end? Do we lower the value of all the guys that are in the middle to the point where it becomes economical to build your team out of a bunch of those guys? That's the ultimate question. How do we value those sorts of differences in the fantasy market, and what does that look like this coming offseason? So those are the sorts of things we need to pay attention to. Is the market might react, it should react, in fact, to lower the wide receiver value. It should react to say, these wide receivers were overvalued coming into the season. And I think we've already started to see that. If you listen to Scott Connor, he's talked about how the wide receiver bubble that he talked about last offseason has kind of burst. It is harder to sell these wide receivers who were worth a first, where 6 months ago you'd say, I need a first in order to sell this wide receiver. And now they're still kind of valued around that range, but nobody's actually buying. So if you want to sell those guys, you need to lower the price. The question is, what does that price get lowered to? What is actually fair for these guys? Because a lot of teams have these other wide receivers on their own teams where they have equivalents. They don't need to go out and buy your Jaden Reed, because your Jaden Reed is having the same volatility that their wide receiver is having. There is not a consistency where, yeah, you're spending a first and guaranteeing that you have the better wide receiver next week if you were starting somebody who's worth a third. Now, that is something, it is, you're unsure. You don't know. Previously, if you spent that first, you were definitely getting an upgrade. And so that sort of dichotomy of, I don't know what is happening with the wide receiver position, and also knowing that it is changing, is something that we're going to have to watch. We need to pay attention to where the market trends are taking us and make sure that if it does overreact, we're taking advantage of it. And if it does not react enough, that we're continuing to do the same things as we did last year. We're continuing to take advantage of the same market trends that put us in a good position for this upcoming season. With that, that kind of concludes my rant about the markets as we're going into this offseason. We need to pay attention to this. I'm going to dive into this position by position as we get into sometime in January or February. And I'm going to talk about how I would personally change the market if it were me. Obviously, I'm not the market. I can set my own prices for what I think certain players and positions and things like that should be worth, but that's going to be different than what the market actually does. And if we can find our steady state, if we can find this is where it should be, and identify where the market is in comparison to that, we can identify how we adjust what we're trying to do with our teams based on that. So that's everything that I have for this topic for this week. Now I'm going to jump into my last two normal segments, the number of players rostered by position and tight ends don't matter. The update for week 16 is that the number of quarterbacks rostered has still stayed the same at 59, running backs at 99, wide receivers have gone down by 2, down to 135, and tight ends have gone up by 1 to 54. As we're getting towards the end of the season, I'm going to be looking at this data a little bit more in terms of, did we learn anything from it? I think anecdotally, we're kind of figuring out that it's just based on the injuries for that week and who the backup players are. I thought there might be a little bit more of variance in this, but I'll have to go through and potentially rerun all the numbers with some additional data that I've gotten this season and see if there's anything that we can actually draw from this. The last thing, obviously, is tight ends don't matter. Last week, we ended up going for Stone Smart. He got us 5 receptions for 50 yards and got us a nice solid 10-point week. However, this week, I decided, and I said this in the South Harmon Discord before the game, with Hayden Hurst active, I was going to bench Stone Smart everywhere. So even though he put up 3 for 37, which I would feel like is a solid performance for tight ends don't matter this week, because I said I'm benching him everywhere and finding a different option, that is what I'm going to do, even though I already know those results. However, when I go to the waiver wire pod for this week, there is no good option. There's actually not even an eligible option from last week. And with the tight end number of 54, I can't choose anybody in the top 54 to replace Stone Smart. So even though I know what the solid result is, even though if this was a normal week, I would force myself into potentially just saying, I'm just going to start Stone Smart again, I'm going to find somebody outside of the top 54. I did this kind of in a previous week when somebody was not mentioned on the waiver wire pod, and as a result of injury, I called an audible at the last minute. That, in that case, was Foster Moreau. Foster Moreau was tight end 54, and that's who I ended up going with that week, because at the time, there were only 53 tight ends rostered. Well, he's still tight end 54, but now that 54 tight ends are rostered, I need to choose somebody else. In that case, I'm going to go with Tommy Tremble. I've been liking what he's been doing in Carolina. He's had some decent weeks, and to choose somebody who's available on a lot of waivers, it might not be available on all of them, but he's outside of the average number. And so that is what I'm aiming for this for every single week. And so this past week, he got 2 receptions for 15 yards. I just need to kind of roll with that again and hope that he's able to put up a similar kind of performance with how that Carolina offense has been doing much better. That's everything that I have for this week. As always, go to southharmonff.com and check out everything there, and go to patreon.com/southharmon to become a part of the community. As always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll be in your ears next week.